We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're always honored to have the governor of the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania on our NISC Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline, Tom Wolf. Governor, how have you been?
I'm fine, Larry and Kevin. It's good to be back with you. And by the way, Larry, congratulations. I mean, last Friday, what you celebrated, 20 years with KDKA. So happy anniversary.
Thank you. 20 years of doing the morning show, getting up at 3 a.m., Governor. I've been with the company 33, but yeah, it's been a long stretch, and very proud to be here because there has been so much that's happened in that 20-year period. I actually was announced as the replacement for John Cigna 5 days before September 11th, so my first day on the air was a week later, and seems like we've been dealing with heavy issues ever since, but just an opportunity for us.
You've seen a lot of history. That's true.
Absolutely. And I take it as a privilege, not a right, with what I get to do every day. And that's to bring newsmakers like you and get information for the people in our region. And where are we now in Pennsylvania in terms of COVID? What's our status as I see our country's hit 675,000 COVID deaths, more than 1918?
Yeah, that's a real concern. The Delta variant has been wreaking havoc all across the country, and it seems to be moving now into the Northeast. If you look at the epi curves, the Northeast was for a long time. I guess it still is the lowest in the country, but we're not declining. Other parts of the country are declining in new cases. I think our hospitalization seems to be good, and it's a different situation now than it was before. The people who are getting the disease tend not to be getting it as it's seriously, and the ones who are getting it seriously are the ones who unfortunately aren't vaccinated. And one of the reasons Pennsylvania, I think, has done well is because we've done very well in the vaccine rate. We're still at the top of the charts in terms of first doses. The best, I mean, 65 and older, it's unbelievable. We're number one in the country. And so, you know, the in terms of the most vulnerable population, Pennsylvanians have really stepped up to do the right thing. And I think that's why so far we have been doing pretty well when it comes to the new cases.
Yeah, the vaccination rates in Pennsylvania are very solid, as you mentioned, towards the top there. Congratulations on that. 46% of the 12 through 18-year-olds, I believe, around the country are also vaccinated fully as well. And then you're talking about the younger kids, that vaccine may be approved for the 5 to 11-year-olds real soon. One question, though, about the just an hour ago, we had John Eckenrode on. He's the president of the Pennsylvania State Corrections Officers Association. There's, you know, they're mandated to get the vaccine or show or be tested weekly for the corrections officers. But the inmates are not under that same ruling. Can you explain why? I'm assuming it's because we're not paying the inmates. Is that it?
That's a good question. The goal is to keep corrections officers and inmates safe, and I think the prisons have done some unusual things. They can do things with prisoners like isolating them that can't be done with the corrections officers, who go home and into the community and come back, which is, you know, as they should. And so the idea is if inadvertently they bring something back in, that could be a problem, even with the isolation of prisoners. So it's an attempt to keep them safe. If you don't want to get the vaccine, just get the test. All we want to know is that you know, you're not bringing something back into the prison that could affect other guards, as well as the folks who are incarcerated there. So we're just trying to keep them safe.
Yeah, and it's I believe the prison system only permits visitors for inmates who are vaccinated, although the visitors themselves are not required to have a vaccine or be treated, so they could actually be carrying something in as well.
Yeah, we need to make sure that we're doing what we should do to keep folks safe, and recognizing that we don't want to trample on anybody's rights. So the goal is to keep people safe.
It's a slippery slope, as nobody knows that better than you, in terms of when, Governor, you had Allison Beam, the health secretary, conversations with her, so the mask mandates at schools, you know the acrimony that was going on before that and the blowback, but you're not restricting businesses or shutting things down. Do you see a point in the future where we might have to do that, or are we steady as it goes in the moment?
I am not looking at that right now. I think the masking in the schools is a special case. Look, we have the vaccine right now, and Kevin, you're right. You know, hopefully, sometime in October, younger kids will be able to get the vaccine on emergency use authorization. But right now, they can't, and we can't afford to have another year of remote learning. I mean, we really need to get them into the classroom. So again, how do we keep them safe? How do we make parents feel comfortable sending their children to school? How do we make teachers and other staff members in schools feel comfortable coming back into the classroom? And since we can't use the vaccines as a strategy, and that's one gap in that strategy, we can't vaccinate kids under the age of 12. So what do we do? Well, you know, it's back to the old system, you know, masking, social distancing, better ventilation. You know, I'm not even looking at masking when you're playing sports or you're outdoors, that kind of stuff. Just if you're inside, again, just common sense things, trying to stay safe in an environment where we can't use our primary strategy, which is the vaccine.
And speaking of the vaccine and strategy, Pennsylvania will get refugees from Afghanistan. I believe I heard 1,000 will be coming to Pennsylvania. Are they going to be required to get the vaccine or measles vaccines for COVID as well? COVID and the measles vaccine as well?
Well, the measles, I know that there was some concern. So we had a briefing from the feds on what seemed to be an outbreak in Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany. And so they did do measles vaccines. And I'm pretty sure, I don't know specifically, but I'm pretty sure that they're getting whatever else they need, because usually the feds, they typically go through all kinds of health screening. And just in case, here in Pennsylvania, we're setting up, you know, the Department of Human Services and PEMA, Emergency Management Agency, are setting up vaccination sites for refugees who are entering Pennsylvania.
Governor, I know you've encouraged people to get vaccinations and continue to do so, and so much of COVID has occupied so much of your time. But what other pressing agenda item is on your plate right now that needs addressed?
Well, I think the when I came here 7 years ago, you know, the pressing things that were getting more funding for education, and incredibly, you know, we've actually, over the last 7 years, put in almost $2 billion new dollars in education funding. That's still a priority, and I think we have a fair funding formula, which is great, but we're not fully funding it, and we need to do that. So I think that's something. And we almost had it last time. I think both parties agree that it's just something that we need to stop looking at the student population. I think the current system is, since we don't have enough money to fair funding formula, we make up the difference by looking at the student populations back in, I think, 1992 or something like that. And that's kind of, you know, 19, 20 years ago, does not look at reality. Some schools make out really well. Pittsburgh schools make out really well in that, and the hold harmless. But school districts that are growing pretty dramatically really get harmed, and those are in rural areas, suburban areas, as well as urban areas. So I think that's a key thing. We had a structural budget deficit when I took over of billions of dollars. Now, even before the pandemic assistance from the federal government, which you know has made us really flush, I was starting to sock new money away into the rainy day fund, and so we now have a structural budget surplus. So those are things that I want to continue. You know, I have another half year budget to go after this one, I think that's something that I want to leave whoever my successor is a strong fiscal state. So those are the priorities in addition to the big elephant in the room here, the pandemic.
And there was a big rally yesterday. Victims of child sex abuse rallied out in front of the Capitol there, pressing the state Senate to move forward or pass a bill regarding holding predators accountable. Do you know if that bill will move forward at all?
I'm doing everything I can to. I think if it's the bill that I'm thinking you're talking about, yeah, I'm working very hard to move that forward.
Governor, we've missed you. Thanks for checking in today with us. We appreciate your time, as always.
Yeah, what did you do on your summer break? I mean, you hadn't been around us very much.
No, I was here. I did take 2 weeks off to celebrate my wife's birthday.
Oh.
We went up to Vermont and had a nice time.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time again this morning, as always. And we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks, if that's okay.
That'd be great. See you soon.
Outstanding. Thank you, sir. Governor Tom Wolf.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.